Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Creative Caravan Roadshow. This is one of your hosts, Suzanne Lawrence. I'm here with Wendy Dewar Hughes. Say hi, Wendy.
Hi, Suzanne. How are things there?
Yeah, they're good here. Yeah, we've got a lot of storms in part of the state, but we're staying dry and staying good.
Good. We're having a heat wave here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, well, it's hot here. It's like being in a sauna, but I can't complain because I'd a lot rather have the hot weather than the cold, so not bad on my part. Listen, today we're going to be speaking to a fellow romance writer. Her name is Christina Lorenzen. I hope I said that right.
That's
welcome,
good.
Christina. How are you?
Thank you. Yep, you got it right, and I'm good. Oh. Everything's good. Glad
good.
To be here.
Well, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from New York.
Okay.
From
how's it
a
there?
Long Island. Actually, Long Island, New York.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So about an hour and 15 minutes from the city, from New York City.
Okay, good. So you don't have any
and
storms.
And I'm on the opposite coast.
Yeah, Wendy's in Canada.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm near Vancouver in the west coast of Canada, so we're kind of opposite.
Wow, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Quite a distance. Well, it's hot and dry here, and we're expecting a hot summer.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's going to be hot summer everywhere, I think. I'm in southern Florida, so it's already hot here.
Hot
listen,
always.
Today we're going to talk about your new book today, A Wife for Humphrey. But before we get into the book itself today, let's let you tell people a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you became a writer.
Okay. Well, I think because I come from a long line of readers. Both of my grandmothers mm-hmm. were avid readers. My mom is a big reader. And because she took me to the library from a very young age, and I became a big book lover, and of course I still am today. And I think from the reading, kind of seeped into writing. From the love of reading, I decided, I think from when I was about 9 or 10, I wanted to write a book. I started mm-hmm. very young. And mm-hmm. I think from that, it just was a natural... For me, it was natural to just go from reading to writing. And at 10, I started playing around with stories. But in sixth grade, I had a teacher, an English teacher, who gave a creative writing lesson. And I think that sealed the deal for me. I think she made it so fascinating that I decided that was it. I was going to write. And I did start out writing young. I did start submitting short stories when I was in high school. I was freelancing for a mm-hmm. local paper when I was in 12th grade. So I started very young.
Wow, gosh, you wrote a lot. Well, good for that teacher. I always think it's great when teachers can inspire somebody to really take something up that they're passionate about. So good for her.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
That's one teacher I have never forgotten.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. You never forget somebody like that. So that's great. Well, your books, I like your – I was talking to you before we went on air today about your website, and if people want to go to – Christina's website is just her name.com, ChristinaLorenzen.com, and that's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, Christina, and her last name is spelled L-O-R-E-N-Z-E-N, so it's just ChristinaLorenzen.com. And
right.
What I was saying I really like about your website is underneath your name, you've got a little tagline here that says stories of fate, family, and love in a small town. And then you've got this header here of this little small town. So it's just that just pulls me in already wanting to read what you've been
doing. Yes. Well, because my stories are all happily ever afters. And basically mm-hmm. I like to focus on romance, happy ever afters, and faith because I do write inspirational fiction as well, and I love small town life. Mm-hmm. So all of my books, I don't think I'll ever write a book based in the city.
Well, that's neat. Well, Wendy, you're in the small town too, so there you go. You got something else
that's
in
right.
common.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so now you've got this book, and I think isn't this your A Wife for Humphrey? Is it the second book in this series?
Yes, it actually, the first book, A Husband for Dana, I wrote the first book, mm-hmm. not intending to do a sequel, a series, or anything like that. But what happened was several readers wanted to know what happened to the main characters, Dana and Eric, what happened after, because a lot of people said, oh, this should have been an epilogue, what happened? I want to know where they went from there. And I had a little idea, mm-hmm. and I was toying with it, and I said, well, okay. And so A Husband for Dana, in that story, Dana is running away from the altar because her father has picked her groom, and she doesn't want to marry him. And Eric is actually a runaway groom, too. In the first book, we have a runaway bride and a runaway groom. In book two, okay. A wife for Humphrey, they're married, they're settled, so the readers get to see that they get married, they settle, and now she, kind of the tables are turned, and Dan is playing matchmaker for a shop owner in town because she's unpacking luggage and getting settled, and she finds a little box that a woman in town had given her, Minnie, the shop owner, and she had never opened it. When she opens it, she finds a locket with a picture of a young soldier, and she wants to know who it is, and she starts snooping and looking into the history, and she finds out that Minnie, this elderly shopkeeper, that was a locket with a picture of the soldier, her lost love that she was waiting for, and she never did get to marry him. So in book two, A Wife for Humphrey, she's determined to find out if Humphrey's still around and if he's married, and if he's not, is there any chance that she can get him back to Minnie and get them a happily ever after?
Oh, wow. Well, I like that for a number of reasons. One is it kind of builds on your little town, you know?
Yes.
A small town, and let those characters from the first book kind of let us know what happened to the characters in that first book, but then builds on it and gives us more about that small town life. So that's really good.
Yeah.
I think readers love it when you kind of build on things and they learn more and more about that world that you've created.
It was. It was fun because I took the two main characters, but I developed some other characters, and then they got to see life in the small town and meet some of the shop owners. So it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great way to write a series, too, if you have the location as the pivotal area of the story, of the series. You can go in all directions with a series,
right,
rather than having it with a family where you do one brother, then the next brother. So pretty soon you're going to run out of characters to deal with. But with a small town, there's just no end of ways you can go with it. I love that concept.
Yeah, I thought it would be great to do that. I wanted to go back, and I really enjoyed writing the first book, and I thought, well, and even now that I've finished the second one and it's been out for almost 2 months, I've been thinking, gee, you know, what about this character or that character? There are other characters in the book that could possibly another story could come from there. So that is the fun part of having the small town and the quirky little characters in the shops, and there's always other, you know, there's potential for other stories.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I always ask this question of authors because I think that everybody always wants to know. You mentioned what fun you had writing the book, but
yes,
we all know that when you're writing a book from start to finish, every single part of it maybe isn't fun. So what was the most difficult part of writing the book? How did you ever get stuck, or what was a little bit tricky in making it all come?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It wasn't really the only difficult part for me, because it was like going back to somewhere I had been. I already had an idea of the town. I knew my main characters. I knew him. I knew her. I would say the hardest part was sticking to the detail, because when you're doing a series, you have to be accurate. You know, in book one, if he has blue eyes, in book two, his eyes can't go green. So you have to keep the details. You have to remember names of stores, shop owners, details. If you mentioned, you know, mom with two kids, are they a boy, a girl? So you have to kind of keep a story Bible and a notebook going. Even though I work on a laptop, I keep a notebook, and I jot down the details as I go. So that, I would say the hardest part was I had to actually go back to the first book and keep it in front of me and refer to different names and make sure, you know, that I had the names. Everything was consistent. That was probably the hardest part, but I did have a lot of fun writing it. But that would be the difficult part, making sure you get everything matches up and it's correct.
Yeah, boy, especially when it's your own work. You've really got to check it against the size you've already written. So that's
a
good
point. And readers are smart, and they know. And they will let you know if you make a mistake.
Yeah, they noticed. They noticed.
Oh yeah.
Well, what do you enjoy most about being a published author now? You've written for all these years, and you were published journalist and that kind of thing before. But getting your own books out like this, what has that been like?
that, I have to say, as a journalist, it was always exciting. Every byline is exciting, and every article you write and adding another article to your resume is exciting. But I think the fiction's a little different because it's, I think it's longer lasting. You know, newspapers, magazines, the articles come, they go, they're gone. But with a book, it's just, I think for me, it's very exciting to just go into Amazon and put my name in there and see my books come up, or look in Barnes & Noble and see the books come up. I do think that's exciting. And the other thing I love, too, is when someone takes the time to send an email or post a review and tell you how much they loved it. And I just read one the other day, and I was just, she was so happy. She loved the characters, and she said it's so well written. And I was like, wow, you know, it never gets old. It's just,
yeah.
I look at it and say, wow, really? Was it really that well written? They really loved it. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback. The first book had a lot of good feedback, and this book, slowly, reviews are coming in, and readers are enjoying it. A lot of people are enjoying it.
Yeah, it kind of makes you want to get busy on the next book all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm always writing, so I'm always busy. I actually just finished my third book, and that's actually releasing in September.
Okay. Now, is it related to this one?
No, it's for, actually, it's for a different publisher, and it's a Christmas novella. So something I always wanted to do was write a Christmas story, and this publisher, timing was good for, I met her, she met me, and it just worked out great. And I actually just completed it, and it's going through edits, and it will be released, it's called Snow Globe Reunion, and it'll be released September 1st.
Oh,
excited about that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Wendy, did you have some questions for Christina, too? I don't want to take all the questions here. I know you've got some.
Yeah, I sure do. I'm always interested in how writers write and what their kind of what your day looks like and how you get your writing done, because the process can be different for everybody. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what that writing process looks like for you. Do you write every day? Or do you write a certain time of day? Just clue us in on how that works.
Well, for my second book, I usually write every day. I usually write in the morning. Mornings for me, I find personally, I'm not a night person, probably because I get up so early and I do so much. By 9, 10 at night, I'm too tired. And I'm not creative when I'm tired. So when I get up in the morning, and I'm usually up between 5:30 and 7, I eat something and get to work. And I do my best work the first 3-4 hours of the morning. So I like to write in the morning early, fresh. And I do write every day. I try to get something done every day. The writing always comes first. There's a lot of other work, too, as an author. There's the marketing and promoting and answering emails. There's a lot of administrative. But for me, the writing comes first, and that's the first thing I do in the morning. I do the writing. I get that done, and when I have a certain amount, I usually set a goal of at least 1,000 to 1,500 words a day. And when I hit that, if it's not going well, I stop and I do something else. If it's going well, I just keep going. But I do try to write every day. And I think that stems from my journalism background, because as a journalist, you have to write every day. The deadlines are tight. There's a lot of them. And I always had a lot of work. So I think that journalism was a great training background, actually, to become a fiction writer.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's a great way to go about it. And for one thing, it tells me that you're serious about your writing, because you make it a priority every day.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. This is, you know, my job. I happen to like it, and I think it's great. It's like any other field, and has its ups and downs and pros and cons, but it's definitely a job. A lot of people look at it like it's an art, and they're waiting for the muse or lightning to strike. I get up and work every day. I have deadlines, and I have to work every day. I have a calendar. I have numbers marked out. I have dates that I have to hit for certain editing points, and it gets done. And I like to hand my work in a little early anyway. So if it's due, let's say, June 1, I'll probably have it in at least 7 to 10 days before that. You always have a little time built in case, you know, I have a family. My children are older. They're grown. But you never know what could come up. Somebody might need something. I might get sick, or I might have to go away. So you always build in a little time. So if something comes up, you're not looking at, you know, you're looking at 5,000 words that you're short, and your book is due in 2 hours. I always build in a little room for, you know, whatever comes up, because everybody, life happens.
Yeah, that's true, and that's really good planning. I'm curious, too, about what you do. If you do your writing in the morning, and you talked a little bit about doing marketing and social media, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what you do in that area.
Oh, sure. Well, basically, once you have a book out, and a lot of people feel once you publish, that's it, and you can sit back and eat your grapes. But really, really, you have to get to work. That's when the work begins. The writing and the publishing are done, but there's a lot. Most writers today have to have their social media, their platform built up well before the book comes out. You have to have your Twitter followers and your Facebook connections, and you have to be on, you know, wherever you go, LinkedIn, Google+, wherever you network. So you have to work that on a regular basis, and you have to promote your book. You have to not only share covers and links, but you have to talk to readers, because it's not about buy my book. It's about engaging and talking to people and getting to know them and letting them get to know you. And that itself is a full-time job. That's, you know, a couple hours a day. So there's a lot of work in the marketing. But I was lucky enough that I learned a lot about marketing and promoting from my son. My son owns a public relations firm in Manhattan, and I worked for him for a good 7 or 8 years part-time. I learned a lot about marketing and promoting and selling and talking to people. So I have learned a lot from that, and that does help me a lot. So I do the writing in the morning, and I do a couple hours of promoting at night, and then sometimes I have an online event I might go to, and I'll go to those, and I'll talk to people at events, and I meet readers, and, you know, I talk about other books. I'll say, well, what else are you reading? You know, what else do you like? What do you like? And that's another thing. I talk to readers and say, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I said, do you like animals in stories? Do you like cats? Do you like dogs? What do you prefer? Do you not like any animals? And that's an important part of marketing, is not just, here's my book, buy it. It's, you know, what do you like to read? You know, what do you enjoy? Talking to readers. So
Now, you make some really great points. Two questions that come out of your comments is,
sure.
Number one is, do you do a newsletter? Do you have a mailing list that you send out to clients?
Oh, yes, I do. I do have a newsletter, and there is actually contact information on my website. If someone goes to the site and contacts and hits, actually clicks contact Christina, there is a place to sign up. I do do a quarterly newsletter. So I do, when I go to online events like book release parties and different book parties, I always, at the end, the beginning, whatever, I mention the newsletter, and people sign up, and when they sign up, they get a quarterly newsletter, and that's where I share, you know, information about upcoming releases or events that I'm doing, or if I'm going to a bookstore to meet people, where I'll be. And so the newsletter is another great way of meeting people, and I have found that to be, actually, a lot of people do like the idea of getting a newsletter. They do like to be, you know, keep in touch. I hold a contest. I'll do a giveaway. I might give away a copy of a book or something related to the book. So it's another good way of connecting with readers. And it's, you know, it's like anything else. It's a little bit of work, but it's, I think it's worth it. I've seen my newsletter has grown quite a bit in the last year. So I definitely think it's worth doing. If any author, I think a newsletter is a great tool.
It is a great tool, yeah. And the other question that came out of what you were saying before is,
sure.
What are you reading now? And I'm going to add to that, what are you writing now? So maybe you can look at those two questions.
Good question. I just finished my third book. I had mentioned the Christmas novella, Snow Globe Reunion, that releases in September. So I just finished that. And what I do is when I finish a book, because I work really hard and I plow through quite a bit, I'm a little obsessed or whatever you want to call it about getting to the deadline and getting it done. Once I get started, I go nonstop. I don't take days off. I don't take breaks. So I just finished it. When I finish a book, I'll take a day or two. I'll read. I'll watch a movie. I'll go out in the yard with my dog. I'll go for a walk. And I'm starting my next book now, which is actually a short novella about a bed and breakfast. And I actually, on top of that, I have another book behind it for Harlequin Love Inspired. And that's an inspirational romance. So I'll be working on two books at once. And reading, I just actually finished Me Before You.
Oh, I want to read that one.
Yeah, I was hoping I could get it done in time to see the movie. I wanted to read it before I saw the movie. So I did just finish reading that. And I have a huge pile of books to go through.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I have more books
Are your
I.
new books in your village, too?
Oh, are you talking about the new book that I just wrote?
Yeah, the new ones that are coming on, are they in your small town as well, the same series?
Actually, no, it's not, because it's a different publisher. It's
okay.
Actually two different publishers, mm-hmm. And the Bed and Breakfast is for the same publisher that the Snow Globe Reunion is being published. So it's a completely new story, completely new setting, and it's actually called the White Gardenia Inn, and it takes place in a bed and breakfast. And it was this collection the publisher is putting out is about, they're all linked together. It's five novellas linked together by flowers. So each novella has a floral theme. And I picked gardenia because it was my grandmother's favorite flower.
Oh, what a fun idea. I love that idea.
Yeah, so it's an actual fun story. It's about actually the hero. His grandmother has been trying to find him the perfect wife, and she, tradition, every Sunday when they go to church, he buys her a white gardenia for her jacket. So the story ties into the heroine. There's a link with the fragrance, and I worked it around because my grandmother, sort of in her memory, because that was her favorite flower. So I'm starting work on that, and it looks like it's going to be a really fun story, too. I try to write something that I would like to read, and this way I enjoy writing it. I also visualize all of my books, so I write them and see them in my head as I write them. And actually the first book, A Husband for Dana, I pictured it. I had wrote it in a hurry, and I actually wrote it in about 13 days. I was trying to get it done in time for a contest, and I actually pictured it and played it as a Hallmark movie. That's one of my favorite channels. And I pictured it as a Hallmark movie, and it just kind of played out, and I wrote it down. And that's what I do. I visualize my characters, the story, and it seems to work.
Yeah, that's how I do mine, too, because I'm a visual artist as well, so I really visualize things, and then I just write down what I see and what they say, and, yeah, it's a great way to do it. I'm going to pass it back to you, Suzanne, because I know you've got a couple more questions.
Sure.
And, this is so fun.
Yeah, Christina, when you're talking about the different publishers you're writing for, that kind of brings up some other questions that I know people would have. When you write stories, do you find the publisher first, or do you look for publishers to see what they need? Because say the story with the flower thing, and you said they were wanting stories with the flower. How did that come about?
Okay, well, this new publisher, which their name is Lovely Christian Romance Press, they actually specialize in putting out novella collections. And they had a call for submission, which a lot of publishers will put out a call, meaning that they're looking for certain stories, certain titles, or they're trying to fill series. And I did see the call for a bed and breakfast series, and she mentioned flowers, and I thought, what about a gardenia? Maybe, what if? And I played around, and I proposed the story, and she accepted the story. So some of the publishers, like this one, she has a couple of collections, and I did the proposal and sent my idea for it, and she accepted my idea. The first two books I wrote, A Husband for Dana and A Wife for Humphrey, I wrote the first one for a contest, and I sent it to the contest, and it did nothing. It didn't final. It didn't do anything. And a friend of mine recommended Clean Reads, the publisher that puts out A Wife for Humphrey. She recommended them and said, what about this little publisher? They're great. They're great to work with. And they published that story. So I don't know. Usually I have the story first, but now that I've gotten published and I'm getting established, I'm looking at the publishers that I want to work with and trying to find out what is it they're looking for, and I'm trying to write something that would suit their guidelines.
Yeah, that's great, because it sounds like it's keeping you busy. You've got new books and new stories and things coming out all the time now.
Oh, yeah. Well, this will be my third one coming out in September. Next year I have three books that are set to release.
Wow.
Excellent.
So it'll be busy. Three books. I have a wedding and I have a college graduation, so it's going to be a very busy year.
I can't stop. God.
Yeah, I have one kid getting married and one kid graduating college.
Oh, wow. Well, if we go to your website again, I want to direct people, I'm always trying to get people to connect with our authors on the various social media. So in addition to going to your site, and I just did this, if they go to your site, which is ChristinaLorenzen.com, and they click on the About Christina page, at the bottom is where I found the Twitter, the Facebook. I mean, you've got the little icons in the top. But if they just go to the bottom, they can click on those. So I went to your Facebook page for the book, and I'm following you there. And, else you've done, which I like, you've got up at the top here, it says there's no place like home, which seems to be a blog. And I know that a lot of writers have trouble blogging because they say, well, if I'm going to do an author blog, what do I blog about? And I always tell them it's nice to have categories. And I see you've done that, like Writer Wednesday you've got, Friday Reads, that kind of thing. So
changed from the beginning. I had blogged certain subjects certain days, and I just recently changed it. I only blog, and I do get behind here and there, but I blog on Wednesdays, and I try to blog on Friday. But I do different things. It's, Writer Wednesday, I talk about different parts of being a writer, different aspects. Fridays, I talk about books. I do Friday Reads. And then sometimes when I can, I try to do Small Town Saturday, where I put up a picture from my own small town, different things, events maybe, or landmarks, and talk about landmarks, and ask readers, you know, to share their pictures or their experiences. But I do fall off the blogging wagon. I get busy, I forget, I skip a week if something big is going on. It's hard. A lot of writers, I think, struggle with the blogging.
Oh, yeah, because your main thing is you've got to write your books and stories and things, you know. So that's always the kind of challenge to keep up the blog and that kind of thing. But it looks like you do a great job of it, so that's wonderful. Gosh.
I'm trying to juggle it all.
trying to juggle it all. So that's where people can find you on Facebook, Twitter. She's on all these places. So just go and hook up with her there. Now, you said you look for these other publishers to see what they're doing. Do you have newsletters or something you subscribe to where you get this information, or are you a member of the Romance Writers Association and find it in their newsletter? Where would people look for that kind of stuff?
Well, I would imagine you could do your own research and you could, you know, plug in whatever you can think of or come up with maybe in Google, but I do belong to the RWA, Romance Writers of America. And I do also belong to ACFW, which is the American Christian Fiction Writers. And they, as members, you do get mailings, you get a monthly magazine, you get newsletters, you get tips, and you can talk to other writers. I think more than searching and looking, it's a good idea to find other writers to network with, because that's when you start to really learn about different publishing houses. You get different tips. You might get find out, like, I have another writer that I met through a group, and now we meet once a week and we work together and we brainstorm. I think it's very important because it's very isolating to work as a writer. You're working by yourself usually, and you're working at home and you're working long days. I work long days. I have 3 cats and a dog. They're not much for chatter. So it's a quiet day. It's a quiet day, except for an occasional bark at the mailman. It's pretty quiet. And I think it's really important to definitely talk to other writers, because sometimes you need somebody to cheer you on, or you can cheer someone else on. So I would say to join, you know, an association, and if they have a chapter in your area that you can go to meetings, even better. That, you know, that's how you find out what's going on.
Oh, I know. It's amazing the opportunities you can find out about when you will connect with other writers in your genre. So that's great.
And that's another great thing about Facebook and Twitter. Besides the fact that you're marketing and using them for work, Twitter is a great place. There are a lot of hashtags. I know there's hashtag PubTips, PubTips, and that's hashtag PubTips, where if you put that in the search bar, you will come up with all kind of publishing tips from editors, agents, other authors. So Twitter's a great place to connect with writers. If you can't do it in person, you can make a lot of friends online. I've made a lot of author friends online, you know, probably hundreds of them that I've never met in person, but I have different authors that I can say, you know, I need a little help with this, or what do you advise me on that? And that's another great thing about social media. You can connect with anybody, anywhere, at any time.
That's true.
Yeah. I also noticed that you did a launch on June 1st on Facebook, for a launch party for A Wife for Humphrey. So, you know, that's another thing that I think people are doing more and more of. So did you enjoy that? Was that worthwhile and fun?
I did. I didn't do a launch party for the first book, and I was a little bit unsure how it would go. But I have an author's assistant that I work with when I have a book release. She does a lot of the marketing, and she helps me with the promoting, because when a book first comes out, that first 30 days or so, it's very important to get it out, to be noticed. And there are millions of e-books out there. It's very competitive. So the launch party was her idea, and she invited several authors to come on, and everybody took a little time slot and talked about their book and talked about writing. And it actually was great, because I did meet a lot of new readers and connected and got some new Facebook friends to chat with. I added several new followers to my newsletter. And it was a lot of fun. It was fun to talk about the book. It was fun to talk about other people. And since I talk about small town life, I met a lot of people, little towns that I've never heard of before, and it was fun finding about their towns. So I liked it. I had a great time. I'll probably do it for the book that's coming out in September. And it was a lot of fun. I think it's a great way to meet more people.
Yeah, gosh. Well, listen, we are all out of time today. I told you this would go pretty quickly, just so many things we want to know. So Once again, I want to remind everyone, we've been talking to author Christina Lorenzen today about her new book, A Wife for Humphrey. You can get it on Amazon.com, of course, but you can also go to ChristinaLorenzen.com and find out about, you know, all of her stuff there. So that's really great. So best of luck with this book, Christina. Also let
Thank
people
you.
Know that we are showcasing you in the book all this month at Sweet Romance Writers International. That's just SweetRomanceWriters.com. And you can
yes.
find out more about that there.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll have to talk to you again when that Christmas novella comes out. That sounds
yes,
really
interesting.
Yes, I
would love that. That would be great.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for taking a break from the writing to be with us today, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks very
Bye
much.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.